Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Hey guys, sports betting season is in full force. NHL and NBA playoffs, we enjoyed those, and now football season is here. You need a sportsbook with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sportsbook industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BetUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. US, you can receive a 125% sign-up bonus by using the bonus code SST125. That's SST125. They have re-up and referral bonuses also. BetUS is known as America's favorite sports book for a lot of reasons. No matter what the season, BetUS has all the games, NBA, NHL, team, player props, loads of NFL and college plays, whether futures or individual game odds. You can bet UFC matches and props, PGA golf, and round matchups and live betting on most sports, including golf. The online casino has hundreds of games, and the racebook has all your horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable, and the Sharp BetUS mobile platform is easy with full betting options. Follow my lead and partner with a sports betting company with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Jeff Collins is just the latest to miss the big picture and at a very tough time. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday. Hope everybody is groovy today. We're going to talk with Chris Landry, bottom of this hour, because it's a Wednesday, and that's what we do, bottom hour one. Hour two, Wednesday during the season, Russ Mitchell, our good friend from College Football News, Heisman voter, Football Writers Association of America, all of that stuff. So we'll have Russ in hour two. And then also we're going to talk with Kelly Quinlan, good friend of mine who runs the JacketsOnline.com site and covers the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, and they obviously had a hard start to the season. Lost at home. Do I have to add that? If an ACC school loses to Northern Illinois?
I wouldn't think so.
They lost at home. All right, they were at...
It's for effect, if nothing else. It drives home the point.
Where's Northern Illinois? Urbana? Find out where Northern Illinois is. If they were on the road, it still wouldn't context away that... Like, Michigan, they lost at home to App State. It doesn't really matter. It could be in a bowl game. It could be a neutral site in Pocatello, Idaho. You're Michigan. They're not. That's the takeaway from Saturday on the flats, historic Bobby Dodd Stadium. Northern Illinois Huskies 22, and they're not good. I think they were 0-6 last year, and they're just it's a good program. It's not a good team. Where are they?
DeKalb, Illinois,
Badgummit,
west of Chicago.
So Northern Illinois, they're a good program. They really are. They had a Heisman finalist about 10 years ago. Was that Jordan Lynch? Remember that dual threat? Took him to play Florida State. I mean, they got in the woodshed, but took him to the Orange Bowl. Played Florida State down there. But that's 10 years ago, and I mean, that's not really relevant. Northern Illinois is a good program by and large most seasons, who right now is not very good. Northern Illinois 22, Georgia Tech 21. When I say that Jeff Collins is just the latest to miss the big picture and at a very tough time, this particular big picture I'm about to talk about, it can only surface
at the worst time. It's kind of baked into it. Yesterday, Jeff Collins had his weekly presser, and he had already talked to the media on Saturday after the game, and he had had his coach's show, I believe, Monday night. When is the coach's show, Dan?
Wednesday night.
That's a little late in the week for me to have a coach's show, I got to tell you. I think I want it to be a whole lot about, you know, recapping and all that. I don't like looking back this far into preparation, but I'm also not the head coach of an ACC team. So he spoke to the media on Saturday, and then yesterday had his press conference. And at his press conference, one of the things he talked about was who's in his corner. And he said, at times like this, you're going to find out who really, really supports you and who's just there when it's easy. You're going to find out who is on your side when times get the toughest and who's just around when it's sunny and it's porch swings and apple pie. You're going to find out. And then he started talking about a cell phone. Broke out the cell phone and said, and I want to share, I got some text messages from people who are in my corner. I got a text message from Bill Curry. Bill Curry, former player, former coach, Super Bowl champion. Bill Curry is one of the finest people I've ever met. I can't even say I really know him. I know him enough to say, hey, coach. But I don't claim that I know Bill Curry. I know him enough to say hello. He's such a good, good, good man. And Jeff Collins got a text message from Bill Curry saying, keep your chin up and we love you and go Jackets and whatever else was in the text message. He didn't read it. He got a text message from Josh Pastner, who is the Tech basketball coach, who I will tell you, he is one of the most irrepressively positive people. I say that for Dan Mullen. I'm going to say the same thing for Josh Pastner. In fact, he's got a voicemail. If you call and he doesn't pick up and it goes to voicemail, there was a day that I was having a tough day. I called and listened to Josh Pastner's voicemail. He coached me up that day. Dan, see if you can get a copy of the Josh Pastner voice. Have you heard it? Are you aware of it?
I am aware of it, yes.
I needed some, he lifted me up, and it was just his recorded voice. Jeff Collins says, I want y'all to know Josh Pastner. He texted me, and we talked, and I'm going to leave the details private, which he's an adult, that's his, but Josh Pastner, he reached out and it meant the world. Then he kind of went way back. Stan Hickson is a former coach that Jeff Collins, I guess, was coming up with, and then he hired him when he was the head coach at Temple, maybe, or kept him on staff or something. And I'm not being disrespectful there, but Stan Hickson, in fact, I don't know if he coaches anymore, but he's old school. He's probably mid-60s, late-60s. He said, and I got a text from Stan Hickson, and all these people are in my corner. If a coach is ever trotting out who is in his corner, it is only because at that time the coach is feeling heat. Do we all agree with that? Like Nick Saban, I don't think. And I want you to know that after we beat Miami by 30 the other night, I got a text message from Joe Namath, and he says, Coach, I want you to know I'm in your corner. Nick Saban didn't start talking about who all is in his corner. Why? Because everyone's in his corner. Jeff Collins, however, lost at home to Northern Illinois, so he's talking about who's in his corner because he's feeling heat. And at that point, that's what I'm talking about. That exact moment, that is the big picture that coaches miss. The biggest disconnect coaches make is thinking that program dignitary X, Y, or Z being in their corner is supposed to carry weight with Joe and Jane sitting in the corner of the end zone. And it doesn't. The missed point for every one of these coaches at this exact time is your employer isn't trying to sell tickets to Bill Curry, Josh Pastner, or Stan Hickson, or get donations or anything else. I promise, Georgia Tech, they've already got Bill Curry. I promise you. I think Bill Curry, and Dan, find this out real quick. I think Bill Curry, he was a freshman at Georgia Tech, I'm going to guess he was a freshman in 1959. So Bill Curry has had a connection to Georgia Tech for 60 years. And as I recall, and if I get this wrong, I apologize to Coach. I should know this. There are stories I'm trying to remember about him being growing up a Tech fan, because that was Bobby Dodd and national championship contenders, and they actually won in 52, I believe.
Played at Tech in 1962 to 64.
There you go. So he's a freshman in 61 because they weren't eligible. So Bill Curry showed up 60 years ago. All right. Tech's got Bill Curry. Tech has Josh Pastner. They've already got his support, I promise you. Stan Hixon, he used to coach. I'm sure they've got Stan Hixon's support. So they're not really critically trying to get it, or their donations, or sell tickets, or anything else. See, at that point, when a coach feels the need to talk about, hey, all these people connected to the program at the highest level, all of these people, they support me. When a coach starts trotting that out, the point he or she is missing is right then at that exact moment. It is actually far more important what dude in Norcross and gal in Noonan think than Bill Curry. Phil Fulmer told me one time, this was, I'm going to say, I don't know, about 10 years ago, whenever Derek Dooley got canned. But that had been 12, maybe. 10, 11, 12, maybe. ADs don't fire coaches. Fans fire coaches. And at a place like Rocky Top, when if you all kind of tilt, you know, turn your shoulders sideways so you're kind of like facing the field at an angle, I don't know. What goes in there? 101,000? Oh, except when Derek Dooley was there and 79,000 showed up. Which, by the way, 79,000? That Georgia Tech take that in a heartbeat. But at Tennessee, 79,000 and then 79,000 and then 77,000 and then 72,000. ADs don't fire coaches. Fans fire coaches. And what I have heard very little about, because Jeff Collins is talking about fan relations and interaction and what fans think post-game, what their attitudes were post-game, what I have heard very little about, Tech had 33,000 people show before the game. Attendance at the home opener was 33,000 people. That was the feeling of the fan base before you kicked off against Northern Illinois, much less how critical it is now following Saturday's game. It's not Bill Curry's support that you need. It's Joe and Jane in the corner of the end zone that you just told, hey, I've got Bill Curry's support.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Got to execute in those situations to be able to put yourself in a position to win games. And our guys understand that sometimes you have to experience that, sometimes in heartbreaking fashion, to really that lesson to sink in. Unfortunately, we had to experience it in real time, but those lessons are ones that can build on to propel us to where we're going.
Chuck Collins, Georgia Tech head coach, talking about it was a tough one and you have to finish out games. Well, get out there and do it, man. That is 100% on you. There is one comfortable talking point, I'll say, about why the Jeff Collins era is taking a minute to get started. And I'll flesh this out as we go a little deeper into the program. But there is one common idea, and it's about the offensive line, that it has to be completely reworked. Well, that has been reworked, I promise you. Like I said, we'll get more into that math as we go along. But Saturday, you know, what's done is done. That's in the rear view, can't change it. Saturday, they host another beatable opponent, supposed to be in week two. It's a school called Kennesaw State. And there is a chance that folks listening right now in the network, which, I mean, we're in the South. We're from Lexington to Central Florida, Louisiana, Arkansas. It's a big circle. It's the South. There's a chance folks listening don't know what Kennesaw State is. They're the Kennesaw State Owls. They're black and gold, and they run the triple option, and they get after you. They want it a little bit. They're tough, and they're mean, and they're not Division I players in most cases. Oh, except for all the players who left after last season because the transfer portal and Division I schools decided, hey, let's go down to a really, really, really good program at the level that Kennesaw State plays, and we're going to take some of their players. So they lost some. But Kennesaw State's well-coached team. Could they win on Saturday? Absolutely they could. I don't think they will. Whatever the 100, and I say this all the time because it's different for everybody, but whatever Georgia Tech's personal 100% is, and I'm talking focus, drive, want, whatever, not saying they were lacking against Northern Illinois, but they were lacking against Northern Illinois. Because if all those things were present, you would have just blasted open holes for 60 minutes. You wouldn't have averaged 5 yards a carry and then not scored. You wouldn't have. So whatever their 100, whatever is possible for Georgia Tech as far as being locked in, squared away, focused, all of that stuff, you're going to get it this Saturday. And then it's see, if it was against North Carolina or Miami, it may not matter. You may lose anyway. It's against Kennesaw State. It should be enough to push you over the top. What up, Dan?
Well, you know, I think what also this kind of all falls into with Jeff Collins and other coaches as well is some of them get it and some of them don't. He clearly doesn't get it, where the only sufficient response in this scenario right here, after you have lost to Citadel a couple of years ago, year one, okay, fine, massive rebuild, it is what it is. And then following last year, a couple of very disappointing losses that you had during last season, and you're trying to be able to build off of that and move forward, still not good. And then you get Saturday night. Bear Bryant had a saying that I heard a long time ago that is probably one of my favorite sayings when it comes to coaching or just in life in general and leadership. When they do well, they did well. When we didn't do well, I didn't do well. And that's the only response that Jeff Collins needs to have after Saturday night and even yesterday as well. And I'm telling you right now, like you said, his upcoming coaches show, not to say that we're going to cover that because after this, we're moving on from this topic. But at the same time, though, too, it needs to be, hey, I want to clarify a few things. If those words don't come out of his mouth during that, then he has completely missed the point. Because guess what, coach? Here's the issue here. When you take a job like you have at a major Power 5 program and you don't do well, people aren't going to be so nice to you. That's the way it goes. I'll give Ed Orgeron credit for the way that he has handled Saturday night. He has completely gone the opposite direction. Immediately after the game, he said, I didn't have this team ready to play. I did not have this team ready to play. When he knows full well the defensive coordinator got outcoached, the offensive coordinator got outcoached, their team got outplayed, but he's saying, you know what? I'm not going to put it on those guys. I'm going to be the one that takes it. It reminds me of a few years ago. Again, I'm going to go back to my time with the Houston Texans. Gary Kubiak was notorious for this, that even to a point where a local radio station in Houston made a song to take on me, that's on me. He was known for saying, that's on me, that's on me, that's on me. That's what Jeff Collins needs to get to. There is not a single person inside Bobby Dodd Stadium that cares what Bill Curry thinks of you or what Josh Pastner thinks of you. Because, by the way, the second guy you mentioned there, aside from a magical run in the ACC championship, people wanted to throw him out soon enough. So going on this, hey, this is the back I have here. Let me resume check you and show you exactly who I'm working with and who you peons are hoping gets fired because it's going to work out well for me. you're exactly right. Soon enough, it's not. The honeymoon is over. You're off scholarship now. You need to start producing results, and you need to also take some accountability.
All of that is true. Everything top to bottom. If it is a coaching problem, well, you hired the coaches. If it is a player problem, well, you either got to get better players or get your players better. Those are the only two choices you have. And there has never been more of an opportunity to remake a roster in short order than what you have in college football right now. We got a story coming up again, and it's just the latest. We got a story a little later today, I hope, about a running back, former four-star recruit, leaves a Power 5 program, transfers to another. 2 months later, he's like, yeah, I didn't like it there. I'm going back. So not just transferring out of the second program, transferring back where he was. So, player mobility, it is as bold and brazen and transparent as ever, I promise.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com. Yeah.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
There is always something for a coach to work on. There's always something for a team to kind of drill down on in practice. And after Saturday's season opening 31-point win over Miami, I'm not sure exactly what that is for Alabama's Bryce Young, the redshirt freshman quarterback. You just look at the numbers and you look at the performance of the team and the points and the yards and all that. Just a flyover. Well, I guess he played pretty well, but let's drill down and find the area for improvement. I was like, well, maybe he's locked in on his one receiver. You know, a couple of years ago, Calvin Ridley had like 90 catches and the second leading receiver in Bama had like 10. I was like, well, maybe he just locked in. He just took the easy route to the go-to. Oh, no, he completed passes to 9 different guys. You know, well, maybe he was tough on third downs and the pressure got to him. Oh, no, he was like 10 of 12 on third downs. Well, maybe he got, you know, locked frozen eyes in the pocket and deer in headlights. And he's like, no, he was able to scramble for a first down on third down as well. So I tried to drill down. I know there's something. I mean, he's working on something in practice. But boy, did that kid look good. Want to welcome on right now, man who I know he drilled down on it, from LandryFootball.com. It's a guy who's done every single job with a pro and college team that can be. It is Chris Landry. Chris, how are you today, man?
Good, Chuck. Good to be with you, my friend.
Let's talk about the website, man. What's going on there? Because it's just overloaded, including Scout's Eye, man. Talk about that in particular. If you join the website like I have, LandryFootball.com, you get access to everything. It's podcasts and videos and all kinds of stuff. But I think that Scout's Eye is starting to be my favorite.
Well, we certainly we do a number of different college shows. We break them down by conference because the country's so big, we want to make sure that we get to everybody. So, you know, just like you do such a great job with the teams in the ACC and the SEC, we go into the film room. So that's kind of what the moniker is about it. And we do that on the website in even more detail. So basically we grade the film and we tell you, you know, how things look. Do you know what happened? We explained why it happened and what does it mean going forward? So that in a nutshell is what you get this time of year. News and notes of all the time in recruiting and draft, but it's about, okay, the games took place this weekend. They got games coming up this weekend. We'll take you inside the film room with the previews and the reviews, and we do it in the college and NFL level. So that's what you get, kind of a scouting arm to arm your interests in football all year long for less than a magazine subscription.
Yeah, I tell people, I was like, for about $6, you can get a Starbucks coffee and a USA Today and have a really pleasant, like, 30, 45 minutes. I was like, you can pay that same money and have 30 days full of it whenever you want. All right, so I guess you were on the line there. You heard my introduction, what I think I saw with Bryce Young. And I was like, well, no, he's got some issue. He's got something in week one that they're going to work on. All right, what is it, Chris? Because I didn't find it.
Yeah, no, he played, first of all, he was just outstanding in all those areas. I think footwork, I think certainly some of the, you know, they do a good job of helping him with some of the pre-snap looks. And I think what they do is kind of scheme guys open. And I think he did a really good job of sticking to the assignments of what to look for. I think that can be advanced. I know that's fun for all the other teams out there to know that he will get better. He will get better at seeing things. Now you're going to see, you know, different teams do different things against him schematically. And so what they're going to try to work on, okay, now this is fine and this worked, but this is what you're going to see in this situation going forward. And I think all of that's just going to come with the natural reps and practice. But I thought he was really good. I thought he did a nice job, and I thought he protected the ball. I thought he distributed the ball. I think he's going to have to – I'm curious to see what he can do up against really good pressure, you know, blitz pressure, and how to handle that, because that's something I thought Mac Jones did a great job identifying pre-snap pressures. I didn't think they got a whole lot of that. That was very well disguised by Miami. So it's not that he didn't do it well. He just didn't really get challenged all that much. So I think those are some of the things that I see that he probably can improve upon.
All right, I just want you to talk, give us a minute about technique and how it's just not an option in Tuscaloosa. And I want to describe one play, and I talked about this on Monday. I think it was Brian Branch, and they were running toss near side, and so here comes big old Cameron Harris, I believe it was. Will Mallory, who's a tight end, is out there, and he's just supposed to truck Brian Branch, and then, boom, you got a running lane. But we always hear, you know, set the edge, set the edge. I watched Brian Branch squat, anchor against a tight end and be able to force the running back inside. Perfect technique, played it exactly how he was coached. I guess when you got a team basically full of 4 stars and 5 stars, everybody has to – you can't freelance and say, well, I'm the best player on the team. He doesn't have a choice.
That's exactly right. It's a great I say it a lot, and sometimes I'm guilty of it. That's a great definition of what setting the edge is. And when you see that, and what Chuck's talking about is – we talk about that is, look, the back will come to the outside. If you force it back inside, that is a pivotal part of what you have to do. Defense comes down to you've got 7 gaps responsible for. And how you do it, how it looks, how you line up, how you do it pre and post snap can differ in a multitude of ways. But that is defense in a nutshell. You got to be responsible for your gaps, got to be responsible for your landmarks and coverage, however you choose to do that. The ability to take elite players and get them to do it right most all the time and to do it from a technique standpoint and an assignment standpoint is what they do well. They are the most talented, but they are the most developed, the best developed. And that combination is why it's so tough that they're on this mountain and they're looking down and trying to find somebody that's even close to climbing it, is because they do both the best and they do it in all facets. And you can't, I think the most impressive thing is that while I see other teams do a good job, the attention to detail and the motivation and the almost I've got to have a great day at practice every day by Johnny Five Star. It exists at the highest level there. And the reason is no job is safe there. I don't care who you are on or off the field. If you don't perform, you will not have that job. I don't care if it's Bryce Young or not. It does not matter.
I remember about 5 years. Every week for about 5 years, I kept being told that the best games in college football were on USC's campus on Tuesday practice. Pete Carroll would put every job up for grabs. Didn't care who you were. I started 31 straight games. He's like, you can lose your job on a Tuesday here.
Competition Tuesday.
Ain't nothing like it. Let's talk the other team that just, I mean, I know that Georgia's offense only got three. That defense is going to be bad news this season because it's not just, you know, like the Auburn defense back in 10, it was good talent, and then there was Nick Fairley who would do something when the opponent got in the red zone. That's not what this defense is. Jordan Davis is a special, special player. There's like 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 more who are special in their own ways.
Yeah, they are. They're loaded with talent. They also play very, very well from a technique standpoint. They play at the point of attack very well. I hear this a lot. You know, well, a lot of teams didn't tackle well. They did at Georgia. They sure did there. They tackled well. They leveraged well. They are so gap sound. I mean, they're really good with making sure they fit the runs. I mean, it was just incredible in terms of not just the talent, but the assignment level. Just outstanding. They're loaded with talent. They can bring pressure off the edge. They can push the pocket. I thought the inside backers played really, really well. I thought there were a couple of missed tackles there, but not a whole lot. Just really good. The front played so well that, you know, the secondary really wasn't tested. And so it was just it's going to be a stifling defense that's going to be very hard. They'll, I guess, be challenged at times, but they certainly are in good position going forward to be able to build off of this through their schedule and just get better and better and obviously work the other side of the ball, which is going to be the key to complement this very good defense.
I want to ask you quickly before we get out of here about that Georgia offense, because I think that part of it is, and I don't know this, but I think they kind of did an assessment and said, we don't have to try to peel the top off the Clemson secondary. We can be controlled and shorter, et cetera, and basically not lose the game. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think, first of all, just by comparison, I thought Georgia offensively, from a schematic standpoint, was more effective than Clemson going up against the great defenses. Last week, yeah, we talked about the defensive fronts have a huge advantage in this game. And who can block that a little bit better? Well, I thought that Georgia at least found some short outlets that they attacked very, very well. I thought that, you know, what I see, and this is the takeaway going forward, two things. They've got to get healthy at receiver. If they don't get healthy and they don't improve, and that's a big part of getting better, improving, if they don't and they don't protect the pocket better, because JT Daniels is a guy that is got to set the pocket and allow him to work it. I think they can work the crossers. I think they can work the backs. I think they can work different layers with the receivers. If the protection's there, they can be a really good offense. But they're a passing game. They can run the football, set up play action. I think they're going to be fine throughout their schedule. But for them to get to where they ultimately want to be, you know, I know they weren't healthy. They need to get healthy because what they saw Saturday is pretty much what you're going to see in the national playoffs. And if they're not healthy or improved, which I think they will be, but if they're not, they're not going to have a chance to advance because there still were some plays to be made. They couldn't block it well enough against that type of front. But I got news for you. They're going to face that type of front against Alabama. You know, they're going to face it if they play Clemson again. So as it relates to going 12-0, they still could handle that. But that's not what Georgia fans want to know, is how they're going to do if they get to the playoffs. Yep. How they're going to do if they play Alabama. Well, the answer is they got a long way to go. They are not ready for Alabama, and a lot of it has to do with the training room and good fortune health-wise, but a lot of it has to do how they handle protections and get the ball out even quicker, because those are things that they did fairly well, but they're going to have to do a whole lot better, and it's going to start with the health. And if they don't, then they're just going to be a good team that probably can make the playoffs, but they won't advance against the best team in the country, which is, I guess, no shame, but that's kind of where they are. So let's see how much better they can get over the next dozen weeks or so.
LandryFootball.com is a website where you get all this firsthand from Chris, and it's groovy in, like, I don't know, like May, June, July. It's awesome when we got games going every single week. So LandryFootball.com is the website. We're going to break, come back, continue with Chris Landry on a Wednesday.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. College football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Cookeville, Tennessee. What's up? Nine states. 54 sticks every day talking college football. It is what we do on the Chuck Oliver Show. Brand new affiliate. So welcome to Cookeville, Tennessee. Glad everybody is here. Folks, there is a term, a football term, that most of us don't hear very often. Most of us aren't SEC head coaches, though. Want to bring back Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. Chris, you know, I think everybody, if you're even just a casual fan, you've heard, you know, cover two or Tampa two or whatever. It's, you know, two deep safeties, split the field, whatever. There's cover three, where, and everybody kind of knows what that is. There's a term that nobody – cover one even, which I think is a tremendous defense, and that's kind of where it stops. Saturday night, UCLA decided to run cover zero, and I'm watching that game and I'm thinking, okay, well, that's risk reward. Let's see what you know. Let's see about this. LSU never put the risk in it for them. LSU never figured out how to make them pay for cover zero, which, by the way, as much as I love cover one, cover zero, folks, that means you don't have any deep help. Everybody is one-on-one from one sideline all the way over to the other. Chris, that's what I saw on Saturday. What did you see with LSU on offense?
Well, first of all, the protections were bad, and they didn't identify where the pressure was coming from very well, and I thought they did. And UCLA did an outstanding job of changing the launch points of their pressures, which is so very important. And you're correct. There are absolutely ways you can beat that. The ball has to come out extremely quick. They don't have confidence or in the game plan to be able to work the backs or adjust to that. And I think that certainly you've got to shorten up your routes, and you've got to be able to, you know, get the ball in the hands of your playmakers, and you've got no coverage over the middle. So that means you simply run a nice crossing route and you do a good job. But if you don't identify quickly enough and you don't figure out where to go with the ball, I thought Jerry Azara did a really good, Jan Azara did a really good job of creating a lot of confusion. And I think it's just a, you know, I've kind of said it. It's inexperience at both the coordinators. We're talking offense now of how to deal with it. Offensive line was a problem last year, continues to be a problem, and they didn't match up. And I think they felt like they needed to max protect. They needed to try to see if they could still go vertical, and they just didn't know how to attack it. And I think from a game plan standpoint, they came in with an idea of what they wanted to do, what they thought they could do, and there's no ability to adjust. Look, it's in short, of bloviating in a way of saying this is a perfect example of being outcoached by really good coaches on one side and young coaches that are trying to figure it out, and the inability to adjust in games is the key. You know, the old theory, I learned this, I always was taught, you know, about halftime adjustments. My first year staff with, well, really Bill Ornsberger was the one that that told me that if you're waiting to halftime to adjust, you're in trouble. And it's ironic, without any connection, when I go and work for Bill Belichick, the first thing he says, if you're waiting for the halftime to adjust, it's way too late. Halftime just gives you more time to make bigger adjustments, but you have to make adjustments on both sides of the ball in between series. And they just were not able to do it. And part of it, they just couldn't figure it out. And that's a problem up in the booth, in the communication of what they were seeing, and the inability to make that change was an example of some of the problems that LSU had all last year. And it certainly resurfaced again in the first game.
How much of a problem or issue or topic, or even how much are you cocking an eyebrow looking at the UF quarterback situation right now?
Oh, I am absolutely looking at it. I'm looking at it, though, in a very intrigued way, because it's not like, oh, boy, they got a controversy. No, but this, they've got a
guy.
Yeah,
I was looking for the right word. I don't know what the right word is, but no, boy, I can't take my eyes off it.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I mean, AR is going to be the guy. I think long range he's going to be the guy. But I think they see Emory as someone that could really help them. And remember, this is a guy that's been part of a staff and been part of, we're going to utilize what they can do both. What they can do, and we're going to utilize them both. Now, they're, everybody rubber stamps. Oh, two quarterbacks, can't do this. They will have a package just like they've had before, and they kind of, you know, reminisce to Tebow and Leak, but it's different than that. It's, you've got two guys that can do different things. I think what I look at is, I try to always look at it. If I got to defend it, I'm like, I'm a defense coordinator having to play them. Oh, bleep. You know, now they've got a runner that they can feel comfortable throwing with, but then they've got a guy that's coming along that becomes even more dynamic with the passing game and can run. So they got a runner who can throw and a guy that can throw it pretty well that can run. They got two guys that can do both. One is better at one than the other, but we got to defend them both. We got to prepare for both. And we know there's not going to be any issues in the locker room. There's not going to be any problems because the guy that runs it knows how to manage that, knows how to sell that. This is what you are, Mr. Emory Jones. This is what you do are, Anthony Richardson. This is how we're going to use you. Here's how it's going to be a part of it. And it's not a two quarterback system. It's two quarterbacks that are going to run, that'll morph the systems a little bit. I think they've got something going. I've heard about Anthony Richardson in camp. I saw a little bit of the practice. I kept being told, look out, look out. I get it now. I've tweeted out, I get it. That is going to be interesting. And look out for this Florida offense as the season goes along. They're going to be tough to handle.
Chris, give me 60 seconds on Joe Milton and the Tennessee offense, because they've got a legit opponent on Saturday.
They do. Was not impressed. You're not going to live in this conference 53% completion percentage, particularly when they scheme guys open as well as that offense does. They got a real problem. Milton does not know how to feather the ball in. Everything comes out hard. Scheme-wise, they're doing what I thought they would do. The quarterback play would concern me if I were Tennessee. They played one of the five worst defenses in all of college football last week. I just think this is going to be a real interesting test that's going to maybe tell us truly where Tennessee is, and I'm hoping that it's better than I think it's going to be.
Chris, always appreciate it, man. LandryFootball.com. That's where you get this every single day. Doesn't just have to be a couple of segments on a Wednesday. Chris, do it again in 7 days, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, bud. Take care.
All right, again, Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Growing up, there was, I don't know if you picked up on this or not. Anthony Richardson, do you know what jersey number he wears? 15. AR-15. You can't have that nickname in 2021, can you? Like, I remember George Rogers when he was at South Carolina, he wore jersey number 38, and they had a bumper sticker, Carolina plays with a loaded 38. George Rogers, I thought it was awesome. I was like a fifth grader. And it was also 1980. I mean, can you have AR-15 as your nickname in 2021, Dan?
Maybe not licensed T-shirts or bumper stickers or anything else.
No, that he's AR-15 apparel with a scope on it, all right? With a rifle sight on it. I don't know if you can do that in 2020. He is. I don't know if it's necessarily a great idea.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at atlantaramjack.com.